It's really good to see everybody here in the house of God. It's wonderful to be in the presence of God once again. Amen? Have you all been changing the atmosphere through sound? Why suddenly everybody looked down on the floor? One of the things that God has been doing, and we've got to step in, okay? And I want to keep on emphasizing this. We got to step in to that which God is leading us to, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, step in. Okay, if your neighbor is a bit sleepy, just give him a big nudge. We've got to step into the things that God is preparing us to do. And you know, if God says, reveals a certain thing, we've got to step in and move into that direction because God is leading us and wants to grow us. In the past weeks, we've been talking about, you know, the change. In fact, the last couple of months, right? 2 months. Change, and in the last couple of weeks, change in the atmosphere. We were saying that we need to let faith take the lead, right? In the midst of fear, even if you are afraid, faith needs to take the lead. Faith needs to lead us so that we can change the atmosphere. We also talked about how we need to remove sin that brings on, that creates this negative atmosphere in our lives. Every time there is sin in our lives, it pulls us, it bogs us down. Last week we were talking about music and sound. And sound plays an important role. It sets the pace in the atmosphere that is around us. And we need to soak ourselves in the sound of God, in God's worship, in God's sound. Today I want us to look at the story of Paul and Silas once again. We talked about this last week, but today we want to build on a little bit about that and see what God has for us in this passage. So Acts chapter 16, and we read from verse 11, give us a little bit of background as to the story. Acts 16 and 11 says this: from Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. Verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman, to the women who had gathered there. On one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Verse 16. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled and he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. Verse 19, when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept our practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After that, they had been severely flogged. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, and he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrate sent their officers to the jailer and ordered, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates. And when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. This story tells us of what happened to Paul and Silas as the Lord was leading them to the city of Philippi. They let faith take the lead. Now, when they were there, we must understand that, you know, this place, there are not many Jews there, so very pagan, Roman. Oh, it was a Roman colony, right? And so, in those days, the Jews would meet by the river and they have their prayer meetings there. Okay? So that was what Paul and Silas were doing. They went out by the river and to look for, you know, people gathering together for prayer. And so in verse 16, it says that once when they were going out to a place of prayer, you see, the intention of Paul and Silas was this: I want to go and pray, right? The atmosphere at that point of time for Paul and Silas was an atmosphere of prayer and seeking the Lord. That's a great thing to do. And they went out with that positive, wanting to do what God has called them to do, intention. But as they went out, there was, the Bible tells us, that there was this lady, this girl, who had a spirit which could predict the future. so that she had a spirit in her, an evil spirit. And this evil spirit, this girl was following her. And the thing about it is this. She said, following her for a couple of days, right? And she kept this for a couple of days. The Bible tells us that. And she said this. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be safe. True or not? True or not? True. But you see, as you read on, this girl was following her for days, for a couple of days, right? The Bible tells us. And Paul gets annoyed. The NIV says he gets troubled. He gets troubled, he turns around and says, you evil spirit, get out of her in the name of Jesus, right? Boom. Put ourselves in that situation. Now this evil spirit, who obviously know the truth, wasn't lying, you know. This evil spirit was telling the truth, right? And so it was Paul and Silas going about praying, meeting people in prayer, ministering. And there was this girl with an evil spirit coming and telling the truth about them, okay? But Paul and Silas were annoyed. Now, how many of us, given that situation, we will say, well, yeah, that's true, you know? That's what we came to do, right? But Paul and Silas were annoyed. There was this bugging, nagging feeling that was, you know, tagging along all the way. Although she was telling the truth, that was not what Paul and Silas' intent was. To glorify themselves. They intended to go and meet people to minister and to pray. And why am I bringing this up? It's because as we read on, what had happened was that, you know, Paul and Silas ended up in prison. But before that happened, there was this bug. I call it a bug. It's like you want to go to bed and there's this annoying mosquito flying around you. And that was exactly what was happening to Paul and Silas at that point of time. And they needed to take a supporter around, and he took authority to deal with that annoying bug spirit. Now, we've been saying a couple of things here about change. We've been saying that change, God wants us to deal with change in at least three areas for now. One, attitude. Two, authority. Three, atmosphere. And here we see that this annoying spirit is tagging along, and Paul takes authority and changes the situation. He comes and says, in the name of Jesus, get out. He cast it out. He stopped and he dealt with it. Sometimes when we are doing something for the Lord, there's something, some person, some situation that is just there. Doesn't do anything. May even be the truth. But this person, situation, thing, sent not of God, is there just to bug us from moving on, from doing what God wants us to do. And when that happens, we need to recognize that this is not of God. And that's what Paul did. He recognized that this woman, although she was telling the truth, this is not of God. This is not something that God is doing. Stopped at his feet, turned around and said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of her. Stop bugging me. Stop being so annoying. Because this is not what God wants to do. God has given us all authority. Perhaps there are little things in our lives. Wherever we go. And we need to ask the Lord for wisdom to stop and take authority over these little things, we can look at it and say, this is, well, part and parcel of life. This is how the system is. Maybe you walk into the office and that's how it is. And then your conclusion could be, that's how it is here. We need the wisdom of God and the eyes of God to be able to take authority and to deal with the things that bug and annoy us, because God wants us to move on to change atmosphere. And so the first challenge I'm giving to us today is this. To begin to recognize what are some of the things that annoy us, that trouble us, that bug us, little things perhaps, that tag along, that we need to stop, turn around, and take authority over. Because all authority has been given to us. God has given us the authority to trample on serpents. And a lot of times we let these bugs tag along all the time. No big deal, right? Little thing. I'm sure if you're about to go to bed, or you're sitting down and there's this mosquito flying around you, you will take authority over that mosquito, right? You will be so annoyed, you will rise up, you would, you know, I don't know what you do lah. Like, nowadays, we have this electric, you know, this, what do you call it? Racket thing, right? Charge it up and make sure you zap it away. If you can't find that, you know, find a newspaper, get your hands, get whatever, to get rid of that annoying mosquito bug. If there's an ant crawling up your feet right now, and just, you would get rid of it. And how sometimes we allow little things that dampen our spirit. We just say, it's okay lah, never mind. That's just the way it is. You know, it's so easy for Paul and Silas to turn around and say, well, she's like that one. Or everybody else to say, oh yeah, she's, you know, she just talks to herself. Or that's what she, that's, and we just brush it off. You know, sometimes that can happen to us as well. We can have things in our office, in our home, in our lives that bugs us from just doing what we want to do. You can't read a book because this mosquito is flying around you, right? You got to stop and address the issue. You want to do your devotion, this mosquito coming around. Stop and address the issue. Take authority, right? Now, I'm not talking about the mosquito alone. Okay? I'm talking about your life. Address that issue. But what happened after that, when Paul addressed the issue, was that suddenly the owners realized, okay, there's no more demon in her, okay? So, she can't predict the future anymore, and therefore, no more money. Right? So, they created trouble for Paul, for Silas. They brought them before the magistrates and says, you know, these guys are throwing our city into an uproar. And so, the crowd joined in. You know how the crowd always does this when one person says something, you know, then everybody goes along with, you know, whatever that is out there. Okay? What color is this dress? That's the hottest thing right now, right? And everybody, you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, go white, black, whatever. And everybody, that's exactly what's happening, you know. Okay, that's what's happening, exactly what's happening here. Everybody, somebody says something, and everybody, is this and that, is that. And then, you know, everybody talks about the signs of why you see gold and black and blue and whatever not. And then we get caught up with that. Yeah. Be careful, that these things don't distract us. Okay. From what God wants us to do. And so, the crowd joins in. They all come and say, you know, all right, this guy's creating trouble and all that. And at the end of the day, what happens is, the magistrates ordered these guys, no trial. Don't know whether right or wrong. Okay? Because some guys make some noise, everybody, oh yeah, let's go and make noise as well. They were thrown into prison. Before that, they were stripped. They were flogged, thrown in the inner cell so that they won't escape. And their feet, they were put in stocks. Sometimes, when we stand up in authority, and a lot of times this happens, with the little things, bigger things happen. And we can very easily say, if like that, just let the mosquito bite and go lah. I'm just using that as an illustration, right? And we can just say, okay lah. Just, that's the way to get rid of you, okay? Here. And we don't want to take authority simply because there's this nagging fear at the back of our minds. What if we take authority right now and we look at this story and say, oh, we are now in prison? What if we go about aggressively doing what God wants us to do, we'll end up in a worse state? And so there's this nagging fear at the back of our minds which says, slow down. Don't do anything. Because you may be stripped, beaten, end up in prison. But what does God want to do? And so it takes us to the next level. It depends on how you look at it, right? If you look at it as, if I don't do this, then nothing will happen to me, then true lah, nothing will happen to you lah. God doesn't take us to the next level. And that's why many Christians today, 10 years down the road, 20 years Christian, yeah. 30 years Christian already. Yeah. And we're not going and going and going and going. Why? Because we live with this nagging fear at the back of our heads. And our life become, nah, mosquito. Correct. We need to stop, pause, take authority, and not be afraid of where God is taking us, because God takes us to the next level. Don't see this as something that, you know, the evil one, it is pulling us down. Yes, it may be. It may be, and we will read that a little later, you know, how the evil one wants to drag us down. But look at it from the perspective that God has given us all victory. He has given us authority, and whatever the devil tries to do, we are victorious because of Christ. Amen? And so we cannot, must not live in fear. We've got to rise up and get up. But Paul, Silas, ends up in prison. And we talked about this last week. And in this, all right? The first thing is take authority. Secondly, when we are in a situation whereby the atmosphere has changed, we take authority and we hope, believe that things will change positively, right? But here we see Paul, Silas take authority and then it changes negatively. The atmosphere changes. Becomes bad. Because they end up in prison. They're beaten and they end up in prison. And so, the second thing that we need to have, not just take authority, we need to have the right attitude. A changed attitude in the midst of changed atmosphere. A lot of us guilty, okay? If we are honest with ourselves, we are very often guilty of sitting down. And as the phrase goes, sit down and lick our wounds. Just like a dog who has been in a fight, beaten, goes back, sit down, lick our wounds. And perhaps if we are in that situation, we could look at it. Now these guys have beaten, stripped and beaten. So they are wounded. You can sit down and you can look at your wounds and say, God, why all this? And then our spirit goes down. No more energy. Physically also tired because you're beaten, right? No energy, spirit goes down. You're in stocks, in chains, in the inner cell, and it's dark. And then you question, God, what is happening to me? I started off wanting to go and pray. That's what Paul and Silas did. They were going for a prayer meeting. They were going to talk to believers, to minister to people. And they end up in prison. Beaten in the inner cell. In stocks. Why is this happening to me? Why do things like that happen to those who are fervent for the Lord? God, for some reason, allows that to happen so that He can take us to the next level. And I want to say this again. Do not ever, ever, ever turn around and say, well, if that's going to happen to me, I'm not going to do anything. Float around. 5, 10, 20 years of your Christian life still that. Nothing's happening. And you know this, you can tell by just having a check in your life and say, hey, what is God doing in your life? Share your testimony. And you cannot share testimony, you can share other people's testimony. You know what happened? You know, this happened to that person, you know. Something happened to that person. Wow, God worked miraculously in that person. Fantastic. Great. And you know what happened? I was listening to this radio and this guy shared his testimony. Bam! God's doing something. But what's God doing in our life? That is a marker itself, you know, that we are like that. It's God is not taking us, or we are not moving from one to another to another. And so we need to have the right attitude towards a changed atmosphere. Don't sit down and lick our wounds. When there's darkness in the area and when we are right there in the cell, because that is exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to focus on our wounds. He wants us to focus on the little things that have brought, quote-unquote, defeat, so to speak. The little things that hurt us. The little things that pull us down, the devil wants us to focus on that. But we need to arise and we need to focus on God. And that was exactly what Paul and Silas were doing, because in verse 25 it says, at midnight they were praying and they were singing hymns to God. They were changing the atmosphere because they had a different perspective and a different attitude towards what God was doing. Last week we talked about this, we talked about sound, right? We need to raise our voices, we need to continue to pray. The situation, the circumstances around Paul and Silas changed. Instead of being by the riverside praying with people, he was in the prison cell right now. But his agenda never changed. He was still praying. Instead of being in the riverside praying, he was now in the cell praying. His spirit was never dampened. Why? Because he didn't focus on the wounds. His attitude was that I'm going to change the atmosphere. I'm going to have the right attitude. I started off doing this. I will still continue doing this. Pray. Worship. And begin to praise God. Paul could be thinking about the lashes, the whipping, the smell of the prison, but he did not. He set an atmosphere of prayer and praise. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Put a bookmark there. We'll come back to Acts a little later. Talks about the full armor of God, this passage. We have read many times, Ephesians 6 verse 10. Says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Strength is in the Lord. It is in His mighty power. The reason why Paul and Silas were not sitting down licking their wounds was because they were strong in the Lord. Because they had an attitude that God is great. That's their perspective. So no matter what we may be going through right now, Ephesians chapter 6, before Paul even says, put on the full armor of God, he says this, be strong. Because and that has to do with our attitude. Because if we are not strong in the Lord, if we don't have the right attitude, you're not going to take on the full armor. You're not going to say, okay, I'm going to put on the, you know, helmet, the breastplate, and everything. I'm not even going to rise up and fight if you're not strong. If you are drafted in the army and you're ready to go to war, you've got to first of all have an attitude that you want to change something. You need to be strong. Because if not, when the alarm and the siren goes, you're not going to get up, you're not going to clean your weapons, you're not going to, you know, train. It's not going to happen unless we are strong. And as Christians, Paul says, be strong in the Lord, in His mighty strength, mighty power. It is an internal thing, first of all. We need to be strong in the Lord. And that was how Paul and Silas were when they were in the prison cell. And then it says, put on the full armor. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Why do we put on the full armor? Because the devil is scheming something. And you look at that story, the devil is scheming something against Paul and Silas. He wants to shut them up. Put them into prison so that he will not share the word. So that he will not have prayer time with the believers there. Put them into prison and kill their spirit. Whip them up. Beat them up. There is a scheme. The devil's scheme. Against every single one of us. For some of us, sadly, the schemes are not very big. And I say sadly because there's nothing to do. You know, when the devil has nothing to do, he wins. Meaning to say that there's nothing happening in our lives. The devil don't have to scheme anything. For others, the devil is scheming up big things. And if he's doing that in our life, praise the Lord. Because you know that you're going leaps and bounds in the Lord. Don't live in fear. Stand strong in the Lord. The devil comes, the Bible says, to steal, to kill, to destroy. And he has to scheme something up to do that. He doesn't come, most of the time. Okay, he doesn't come and say, I'm going to kill you, chop, you know, that kind of thing. No. But he's very subtle. He's cunning. Like a serpent. And he could start off. Little thing. He could start off like that. You take a stand, you end up into prison. In prison. You take a stand, you end up beaten. But what are you going to do after that? We need to recognize that the devil is scheming something. We are going to be strong in the Lord. And we need to recognize what the devil is doing. And then put on the full armor of God. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that you may, so that when the day of evil comes, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. Once again, stand. Stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Verse 14, stand firm. How many times does he have to repeat this? Come on, guys. We need to stand. We need to stand firm. It is mighty power because the strength is in the Lord. To stand our ground. With the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with the feet, with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes through the, from the gospel of peace. In addition, to take on the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let faith take the lead, because that's the thing that's going to extinguish the arrows of the evil one. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit. You know, every time we read the armor of God, we have a tendency to end at verse 17. Because that's all the articles. Helmet, breastplate, belt, boots, shield, sword. Right? Finish. It doesn't stop there. Verse 18 says, put on the full armor of God and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray, 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 pray. Everything pray. That's what he's saying. Pray in the Spirit. All the time, all kinds of requests, pray for everybody, every situation. That is how we stand firm. And so we see here, Paul and Silas in prison, what are they doing? They're praying. They are standing firm. They are changing the atmosphere, they are having right attitudes. Standing firm in prayer. Let's read on. Verse 19. Pray also for me, Paul says. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly. You want to underline, circle that word, huh? Fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And that sets the stage for the next thing to happen. Back to Acts chapter 16. You know, we are talking about how we need to take authority and deal with the bugs that annoy us. How we need to have the right attitude towards a changed atmosphere. By standing firm. Putting on armor. By praying. And then, the third thing that happens here is this. These guys were praying. They were worshiping. They were singing hymns. And God comes and there is a breakthrough. All the prisoners' chains fell off. All the doors swung open, there was an earthquake, and this jailer, he wakes up and he sees all the doors open. Now in those days, if your prisoner escapes, you are responsible. Therefore, you have to serve the punishment, you die, basically. So he was ready to kill himself already. That's what he deserved, if his prisoners escape. And so he pulled out a knife, ready to kill himself, and then Paul shouts out, don't harm yourself. You know, this jailer never even checked. He saw the doors open, he's ready to kill himself already. And he hears a voice, don't harm yourself. Oh, okay, there's still someone in there. Let's on the lights and see what happened. And so he called for lights, And he begins to see every single person there. And then he goes straight because of this miracle. And he knows that something is happening. God has moved, changed the atmosphere. Something is happening. He goes up to them, kneels down before them, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" I've read this passage many, many times. I've heard it preached many times also. And I was reading it last week, throughout this week. So many times we stop at the point where the prison doors were flung open. And they were set free. God delivers us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know, in our lives, sometimes we end up in prison, right? Beaten and in prison in our lives, right? Whatever situation that we are, we feel like we are, we feel like we are trapped. We feel like we are, just down. Maybe you're licking our wounds too much. And then God challenges us. Hey, come on. We got to rise up. We got to pray. Someone comes along. Side us and say, come on, wake up. We got to pray. We get up, we pray, we praise, we worship. Chains fall off. Breakthrough comes. And then we do this. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know. End of the story, finish. But the story for Paul and Silas doesn't end here. Because for every situation that God delivers us from, He wants us to use that to impact another life. Every time God changes the atmosphere for us, we need to take that to impact somebody else. And so the third thing is that we need to help others change their atmosphere. Now look at it this way. Paul and Silas, in prison, dark, gloom, right? Shut up. Prayer, praise, atmosphere change. Chains fell off, doors swung wide open. They were ready. I mean, they could just walk right out. Atmosphere change for them. Jailer. I'm doing my job, right? Nothing bad happening to me at this point of time. Everything's good. All fine. Atmosphere change. Now is the reverse. He is in darkness, doors all open. He realized that he's going to die. His atmosphere is now dark and gloomy. But you see, what Paul and Silas do is that they help him, and not only him, but his family as well. And I believe every prisoner that was there, because they're all amazed at what was happening. I mean, you sit in prison and you hear this singing and praying, right? You hear this singing and praying and suddenly, earthquake, all my chains fall off. What am I going to do? I'm going to listen to this guy, you know, because something is happening with him. Something happened because of the praying and the singing. And so Paul and Silas went to the home of the jailer. He began to preach, and as Ephesians say, he preached fearlessly. Preach the gospel. Point being, you help someone change their atmosphere as well. With the truth, with the gospel, with the word of God. And so friends, we cannot stop at just, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, my chains all are loose, the prison doors are open. That's it. Let's just walk out of here. My final challenge today is this. We've got to help someone else change their atmosphere as well. Because of what God is doing in our midst. Now all of us may be in different situations. We may identify more with the first scenario, whereby there's this little bug bugging around us. And we need to say to ourselves, we need to stop, turn around, and take authority. Maybe there's some of us here who needs to do that right now. You need to stop and take authority over circumstances or situations that are bugging your life. And you know that this is not of God. You know that these are the things that are tying you down. Just bug, 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 nyang, 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 nyang. You need to stop. Perhaps there are others. You have come to that point already. And you're looking at your wounds and you're saying, God, do I really deserve this? I went out for prayer and now I'm in prison. And you need to have a right attitude to change atmosphere. And if you are in that situation, then we need to stand firm. As Ephesians says, we need to stand in the power, in the strength of the Lord, in the power, in His mighty power. And let sound change the atmosphere. Pray, 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 pray. Worship, 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 worship. Pastor Selena said, if you don't know how to worship long time, just start with worship, right? Put on a CD and just worship, 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 worship. That will take you to the next level. And maybe some of us, you have experienced some form of deliverance, some form of breakthrough. You know, it could be a big thing, could be a small thing, it doesn't really matter. And you have this testimony that God delivered me. But I tell you today, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. Because God wants us to help someone else change atmosphere. That's exactly what Paul did. And you see later on, you read that passage in Acts 16, right? He goes around, the jailer receives Christ. The whole family receives Christ. In fact, what he did, what God did through them, impacted the whole community. And so wherever we are, whatever situation that we are in, if we are in the scenario one, God will take us to two and three. And we got to constantly remember that we need to grow, grow, and grow. We need to grow in grace. We need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to grow in strength. We need to grow in faith to move on. This is the year of change for us. February is gone. 1st of March now. How much is God changing our lives? How much is He taking us? Or how much are we allowing Him to take us? Because He definitely wants to take us from glory to glory, from different situation to different situation, from strength to strength. How much are we allowing Him take us? Let's bow our heads in prayer. As our heads are bowed, let's just think about the things that God wants to do in our lives right now. We need a change attitude towards the situation that we are in. And we need to take authority. Father, we ask that You search our hearts right now. Whatever situation that we may be in, help us, Lord, to have the right attitude towards change atmosphere. A right attitude towards changed atmosphere. Whatever situation we are in. However the atmosphere changes, from good to bad, to have that right attitude, to stand firm. From bad to good, to have that right attitude, to continue to help others change atmosphere. And so, Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would come and minister to us even right now. Speak deep into our hearts, that we may arise. We may arise and change. We give You thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.